Turn around and tell somebody like Coach Yogi Berra did. Just look at them and say, the future ain't what it used to be. Or we could get real spiritual and I could quote from Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back. Always in motion is the future. I thought that was pretty good. Always in motion is the future. Let's just talk about, before we talk about the future, let's just talk about what's changed in the last 20 years. Back in the early 90s, boy, that dates me. I've been preaching. Mark, you were, well, I'm not going to talk about that. Less than 5% of the world's population was even on the internet in the early 90s. Some of you didn't know what it was. I was pastoring in a town called Bogalusa. Don't ask me when I got on the internet. Wi-Fi and broadband did not even exist. This is just the 90s. We watched movies at home on DVD and had to leave the house to rent them. You remember that? And if you were in certain church groups like me, you only went to places out of town to get it. 95% of music was sold on a CD. And if you wanted to go somewhere, you actually used a paper map for your route. Google's founders were in college, and there was no such thing, men and women of God, as text messaging. We had things called relationships. Remember the world that most of us were born into? Look at your neighbor. I got a revelation for you. Just tell them. It does not exist anymore. The world we were born into, no one is surprised then that the church is changing as rapidly or even faster than the culture. And how we respond to it will determine our ability to effectively lead the mission of the church into at least the next 20 to 25 years. Every generation experiences change. And I know people are tired of hearing talking about change, but I can't talk about the future until I talk about change. Sometimes you sense, though, that you're in the middle of a tipping point, a change point that is changing culture maybe for the next few centuries. And I believe we're in a moment like that even now. Those of us in Western culture who are over the age of 30, and I barely just tipped that scale, hallelujah, we're born into a culture that we could actually be called, conceivably, the entire culture could be called Christian. But now, as David Kenneman of the Barna Group has shown, even in America, people who are churchless, meaning having no church affiliation, will soon eclipse the church. In addition, 48% of millennials, and you've already heard about that from Barbie, and I think that's awesome what she's doing, can be called post-Christian in their beliefs, thinking, and worldview. 48%. Post-Christian in their thinking, their beliefs, and their worldviews. Many of these are now what Barna's calling the unattached when it comes to church. The unattached when it comes to church represents one out of four adults in America, and one-third of that one out of four has never attended a church, even for a funeral, a wedding, or for Christmas. Oh, I don't have time. Okay, Ed Stelcher kind of said it this way. He said, basically, cultural and congregational Christians are what we would generally call nominal Christians. Nominal comes from the Latin word meaning name or name only. And the growing number of nominal Christians that claim Christianity are for survey reasons, but rarely attend church or give any consistent consideration to their faith identification. So it's fair to say that we're now experiencing a collapse of nominalism. What this means is that many of these who have been labeling themselves as Christians are starting to feel free to be honest about their religious affiliation or lack thereof, which means the nuns, and the nuns have it. At least 30% of all college students are nuns, and as the nuns rise with their number, Christian influence on culture will begin to wane. The minority of Christians in a culture will begin to feel even more like a minority when more people no longer claim to be Christians. Christianity will be further marginalized, which should change the way we think about engaging culture. Should change the way we think about engaging culture. Christians will increasingly begin to change their cultural tactics. The next 20 years are going to be a challenge for convictional Christians and churches in many places. We will be engaging in cultural conversations often as the true minority we really are. What are the main cultural issues that are trending now and even more so in the next 5 years? Number one, the postmodern view of the nuclear family joined with the militant homosexual agenda. Number two, radical Islam and its global and local effect. Number three, racism's resurrection in America and the resegregation of the urban cities. Number four, the total shift in cultural values, religion, family, politics, and worldview of the millennial generation. I'm going to skip through a few things here and just talk to you about the definition, and she's going to put up the first slide, the first definition of postmodernism. And you can read it on the slide because really I don't have time to read the definition. I'm just going to give you kind of what I found somebody said that really makes sense to me as a 47 Nunya pounds pastor. That postmodernism is really like a worn bar of soap in dirty bathwater. As soon as you think you have a good grasp, it slips out of your hand and is lost in the murky water as you're splashing around trying to find it again. Because everyone theologically, socially, and philosophically has a different view of postmodernism. But if you understand where we are, the millennials have embraced a postmodern culture almost as its own religion. Eric Hoffer said it this way, in times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. Learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. So how do we deal with this? Neil Cole is a futurist and a missionalist that I love reading all the missional guys. He said there's several things that are for the church that we can share with the postmodern culture. This is what they're looking for, and we have the answer. Number one, you were right, Trina. They want relationship over mission. Authenticity above excellence. The hypocrisy of this culture, or the heresy of this culture, is hypocrisy and not the lack of truth. Experience over proposition. They want you to show them before you tell them. Don't tell me you love me. Show you love me by serving me. Diversity goes above destination or uniformity. I'm sorry. Diversity over uniformity. Journey over destination. Mystery. This is for all of you that are trying to create atmosphere. Mystery over the solution. Number five, the bottom line is not as important as the journey to the finish line. The other thing we have to understand, that was the postmodern dilemma. The other dilemma is not only have we entered into a postmodern arena as far as cultural context and philosophy, but it seems as if the world is shrinking with the development of the global community from a village church to a global church. By 2050, there will be one percentage point between Islam and Christians worldwide. Islam, put up the first slide, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. If the current trend continues, the number of Muslims will nearly equal the number of Christians around the world. And in the United States, Christians will continue to decline from more than 3/4 of the population in 2010 to 2/3 in 2050. Go to the next slide, and I think this is interesting globally. Globally, right now, these are the nations that are no longer Christian nations, and Christians are by far in the minority. Australia, the United Kingdom, Benin, France, Macedonia, New Zealand, Bosnia, the Netherlands. George Will said it this way, the future has a way of arriving unannounced. But praise God, one out of four every Christians today are Pentecostal. Although there are approximately 644 million Pentecostal and charismatic churches and Christians today, Pentecostalism is growing faster than Islam, and it is the only religion in the world that is growing faster than Islam around the world. The other good news is missionaries to the Islamic world say more Muslims have converted to Christianity in the last 14 years than in the last 14 centuries before. So if you include postmodernism and the millennial view, and then you grab the global village and global culture, there are four predictions that I'll give before I'm completed. Number one, the places where we gather will become smaller and more intimate. There will still be mega churches, but they will provide places for intimacy and community. Number two, the church will be launched into real mission. The next generation is tired of the hype of events and is eager to give their lives to something that requires sacrifice and results in biblical justice. They want to get their hands in the dirt of humanity and see real change in the communities where they live. Number three, the church will return to its ancient roots. If it's new, it's probably not truth. If it's truth, it's probably not new. I believe the ancient yet simple recipe of the local church will return. We will gather often, read the scriptures, worship intently, pray fervently, be led by the servants, live authentically, and honor the sacraments. Number four, the church will continue to return to its wonder and its awe. The churches that embrace the miraculous nature of God will see the most growth and have the most influence in the coming decade. Good preaching, trendy stage sets, and clever videos will be the foundation for true gospel, sincere, authentic sermons that present and re-represent Jesus to a new culture.